And on today's Windy City Critcast, Steven Rader is here on my couch where I like him best. And we are talking about Michael Jackson, probably for far too long. But stay put, because I'm going to tell you about some movies that are going to have some hot lesbians, some stars who are portraying lesbians, some cougar age, some past prime cougar age. And also, we are talking about other deaths that have happened. Are they going to continue to come in threes, because they keep popping up? And, you know, it's just always fun with Steven here. Plus, I've got my bisexual Jack. He's on his way too, by the way, coming to you in this show. Wow, it's chock full.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 314. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Steven Rader.
Steven Rader on my couch.
On the couch.
You haven't been on the couch in a while.
Well, I've been on the couch in a long time, if you know what I'm talking about.
You know what? I think that if we had web, you know, webcasts, web queercasts, which I wish we did, except then I'd have to do my hair and makeup, and you'd have to do your hair and makeup.
I'd have my hair.
It would take hours.
I'd have to go buy hair.
You'd have to go buy hair. I would love it just to be on my couch, because that's where... I am most comfortable with my friends.
Carrie Fisher. Remember her old talk
no.
show? Where she used to sit and she was barefoot, and she put her feet up and under her, and she would mm-hmm. interview people on her couch and mm-hmm. big chair. And, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. it was great fun.
She's
That's
crazy.
When she interviewed her mother on her Mother's Day show, and her mother told her the story about how she was kidnapped as a child. And Carrie was like, I've never heard this. Oh, darling, I've told you this many times before. I think I would remember the kidnap story, Mother, if you... I love that show.
It's just like watching Postcards from the Edge, like the second chapter.
I tell you, I'm in love with Carrie Fisher right now.
She's brilliant, right? She's wackadoo brilliant.
If you've not bought the book...
I haven't. I thought you were going to do some like interpretive readings from it. I actually think you need to do some like... We could do some little blip readings, and you could just read us through the whole book. Would that be illegal?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Who cares? Well, you know, she's got that. She's did the book that I got. And I also bought the audiobook she read.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's doing it on Broadway coming up.
Is she really?
Yes. Coming on Broadway this fall.
Wow.
And get this. Carrie Fisher doing Wishful Drinking all about her life for The Roundabout
mm-hmm.
in Studio 54. What is more
are we
brilliant?
Are we going to go and podcast
Wouldn't
from
that
it?
Be brilliant.
When is it? Let's
it's
go.
It's coming up in the fall. Oh, yes. I can't.
My birthday's in September.
Wait.
Come on, why not? I know I'm thinking of heading. I want to head to DC in September. And if anybody listening to this podcast has more power influence than I do, and especially in the theater world, because I've tried on my level. I even went to the Shakespeare Theater but Helen Mirren is coming.
Oh.
Helen Mirren is coming to do Phaedra. at the Shakespeare Theater in DC, and it's over my birthday. I mean, I think all you Clearcast listeners ought to just like all like throw in $10 and help it happen.
Fame, and you wouldn't care. You'd be like, "Oh, there, I'm there, man."
I wouldn't care.
Helen Mirren could be playing Coco.
She could cut her toenails, and I would pay $100 just to see her. No, but she's coming. But you know who's in it? Who her like little? Because you know the story of Phaedra is, you know, this woman and the young boy. And it's Dominic Cooper, who was in History Boys in the West End, and also was in Mamma Mia, was the cute heartthrob. Okay. I mean, cut, cute, dark-headed. So there's a little something for the lesbian and the gay. And I read a review. What did it say? It's a little like Jane Tennyson, you know, who's her prime suspect character. It's a little bit like Jane Tennyson seduces a history boy. She's gotten mixed reviews, but I don't really care. By the time she gets over here, she's going to be magnificent. And I guess it was so definitively done by Diana Rigg, but
well, hello.
Anyhow.
Maybe they could redo it, and then they could go on tour, and they could do The Graduate.
That would be great.
Would that be great?
And then she'd get naked, which I've seen those tits every which way they fling. Which I love. But here's the funny thing, that she's coming to DC over my birthday, and I have been finagling with anybody wealthy I know, anybody in the theater world I know in DC. To get tickets to see her. I will pay any amount. I only need one. I don't care if anybody else goes with me. Kelly's not going to be around, so she can't go. But the funny thing is that, you know, she's performing right now at the National Theater in the West End in London. For like a few months, she's going to be there. Or 2 months, I think. But I am getting ready to take my first European trip. I am going in late August. We'll have 1 week without a podcast, which will be the first time it's ever happened. But I'm going to be in Greece.
Oh, not the play.
Not the play. Not the word, but the country. But she is taking this fucking play to Greece like 3 weeks before I'm there.
You know what I mean?
So it's like, I'm kind of like, it's strange because I thought.
You're destined to be together.
I'm like, no, we're destined to miss each other. It's just driving me nuts.
You're going to meet somewhere. It's going to happen. And then Kelly's going to be like, what happened to my relationship?
I'm telling you, she's the only person on the planet that I think if I met, I would not know what to do.
Oh, you'd know what to
do. Oh, I know what to do. I'd be like throwing Taylor Hackford a bone and go, go over there, Sonny.
Come here.
Yeah, I'm a little obsessed. But anyhow, Cate Blanchett is also coming to D.C. to do the fabulous Tennessee Williams Streetcar Named Desire that she had done, I think, in Australia and is coming over here to do it. So, I mean, I kind of want a couple of trips. It's good. We may be having some podcasts from D.C.
because
two of my best friends from college are in D.C. So,
I have a friend in
easy
D.C.
for me to get there.
I have a friend. I have a couple. She has money.
Ooh, you need to email her.
Yes, this is how bad it is. This is when you know your life is over.
Mm-hmm.
When you have dinner with a friend that you knew from high school, and I, God forbid she listens to this because she'll probably kill me. But I have dinner with her.
Nobody knows who she is. Don't say her name.
I won't say her name. So she's having dinner with me, and I take her out and whatever. Uh-huh. Walk around the city, and we're walking through Millennium Park.
Right.
And she, you know, she's from humble beginnings like you and me. And she's a doctor now, and her husband's a doctor, and she has children, and she doesn't have a nanny. No, she doesn't have a nanny. She's an au pair.
An au pair.
Yes. So she's an au pair.
I love au pairs.
She's an au pair.
They're very sweet in August.
And it's a lovely conversation, and we're having a lovely time, and she's very nice. But then she said this to me. Then she said, I said, wow, it seems like so many things are going your way. Congratulations. And she said, yes, well, I do have it all. I wanted to jump off a cliff.
Was she being sarcastic?
Yes, she totally meant it. And I know she didn't mean it mean. Really know she didn't mean it mean. And she didn't mean it bitchy, but it was like a knife in my soul. It was rip it out. And I was like, well, I'm going to go back to my basement apartment where I live alone and go drink some Drano. How about that? That'll make my life happen.
I'm going to go self-medicate since I'm not a doctor. I can't write myself a prescription.
I was like, what are you saying to me? It really was. I was like, does anybody say that? Does anybody? Well, I do have
I want people to say that because I want to believe that potential exists for everybody.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
It does.
No, that just means she's killing somebody.
No.
Or her husband beats her. It means something else.
Something's wrong.
But no, I swear to God. I'm sure she's very happy.
Well, maybe
she has an au pair.
Maybe she'll know
somebody. And she has a hot au pair. I told her that was a foolish thing to do. I said, you're a fool to have a hot girl in your house with your husband. Fool. You need an ugly woman with like a big old wart.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Or a gay man.
Or a gay man. Well, that's
that
the whole thing altogether.
That would be fun for you.
I'm coming over to spend some time with the children.
The children. And if the au pair would like to spend time.
Au pair. I know. So I can't believe she said that. But she's in D.C., so maybe I can.
All right.
We could go out and find out if it's
maybe
exactly
she knows my super wealthy friend in D.C., too, the two of them can.
Maybe we should show up and say, we heard you have it all. We just want to see if it's true.
Yeah, if you have it all, you have a pair of Helen Mirren tickets that you can give me. If you don't, you don't have it all.
Do you have it all?
You have what? You have the illusion of having it all, do you really have it all? Mm-mm. How was your pride?
It was very good.
Your 40th Stonewall pride.
Oh, yes, it was. It was very
Tennessee
good.
Pride.
Tennessee pride. Back home.
Bring home a pound or two of Tennessee pride. You nobody has a clue what
I have
that
no
is.
Idea what we're talking about. You know, I was the Tennessee
that sausage,
pride boy.
Honestly.
I was a sausage boy back home. No, I was a Swaggerty guy. That was it. I did a couple of commercials for Swaggerty sausage back home. I did.
I don't know. Swaggerty sausage.
Swaggerty sausage. And had to go to their plant to do the commercial because I was playing like an old timey thing.
Swaggert, one of those evangelical.
Yeah, but that was not completely different.
Jimmy Swaggert?
No. Swaggerty.
Swaggerty. Yes.
And at the time I was a vegetarian and we had to like do this thing right in front of this building. I didn't know what it was. And it was where they slaughtered the pigs.
Oh, no.
I was making lots of money. I was like, I'm going to burn in hell for this. I'm going to burn in hell.
Nothing's better than Tennessee Pride sausage.
Yummy.
Made by the gay Tennessee boys.
Yes. No, but I had a really good time. And I had a really good time at Pride because I live in the middle of it.
Yeah, you're at the corner. You're like off the chute from gay and gay.
Yeah, I'm right.
You're like a holler from.
Oh, I'm on a lane place, so it's on both sides of me, going both ways.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm in it. It's because I can leave it very easily and go home and turn on the television or turn on music and shut the windows and not hear it.
Yeah.
And then walk back into it when I want to.
I, on the other hand, was trapped in barricaded hell. What in the world?
True.
These barricades, and you couldn't cross the street, and I feel like I've talked about it, but I don't think I have on the podcast, because it was just, I've talked about it incessantly. I realize why I leave town for gay pride, and next year I will not have the same amnesia. And I missed Alexander Billings, which was the only real reason I kind of hoofed it down
like
there, and I missed
million
it.
She looked great. Bucks.
I saw a picture of her in our
She looked like a million bucks. She looked great.
If you want to see the parade, just download Windy City Times from last week. So it'll be this week, the July 1st issue, and there's tons of pictures. So you can download it right on our website.
And it was fun, and they sort of, the beginning of it was fun and whatnot, and I
seem like we have a second class parade though? I mean, we need more like, I don't know, flash and pan, do you think? Or
I think we have a lot of flash.
Do you think we have a lot of flash?
What you saying?
I thought some of the bar floats were amazing this year. Sidetracks float with all those hot air balloons and hydrates with the fish and the mermaids.
They
and
do well.
The batons, they looked real classy.
Yes,
the baton girls came out in classy sundresses this year.
Don't
just
watch
like,
they
were like, the sequins get left for the, when you
pepper?
Pay us the money is when you get the sequins. That's what I think they said.
Was Chili Pepper on the boat? Did you see Chili Pepper?
I don't remember if I saw Chili. It kind of went by really quick and I was talking to somebody. You know, I have those experiences every year and I haven't been to the Pride Parade in 4 or 5 years. Because I just always leave town. So we started doing Gay Idol. I'm so burned out. I'm so damn tired by the time. I'm gayed out. And as I always say, I'm a professional gay 365 days of the year. So one of those, so 364, I'll be a professional gay. And one, I leave it to those of you who work 9 to 5 in like a bank or somewhere where you're not gay all the time. It's not. It's no diss to you. It's just that my life is extraordinarily gay.
And when you live, you know, someone told me before I moved into Boys Town, they said, well, you know, you're never going to go out anymore. You're never going to do it. I said, oh, that's crazy.
You're never going to go out?
You're never going to go out anymore. And it's absolutely true. Now, for the first year, maybe I did.
Oh, yeah, it's novel.
I would go out. It's fun. You know, because it was always like, you want to go out tonight? And even if you lived on Montrose, you had to plan. If you wanted to drive into the neighborhood, you had to take time to do all that stuff. Well, now that I can literally walk out my door and be anywhere in that block of 2 radius, I don't do it. I literally will walk by it. Mm-hmm. On the way home and go, oh.
Well, you and I meet there a lot. I mean,
yeah, I don't do it late night. I don't.
Yeah,
do
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
When I could do it late, I should. Yeah. It should be. I should be out every night getting drunk and then walk home.
Getting late
because I get to like do it.
Going
but
out.
I could care. Like, I think it's also having to do with my age because you know my friends are a lot of my friends are in their late 20s, early 30s,
Right.
So they're in the middle of that.
Yep.
Now. Everybody they say they want to fuck. Every single person. And I'm kind of going out of that phase and going,
yeah,
well, this is a nice chair. You know, like, I don't, it's become very different for me.
I'm not a late night person, but I can enjoy happy hour at many of a club down there and have a really good time.
So it's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I moved to Chicago, I remember my father and I driving, my father came up here because I had never been here really. And he, I had been here one time with an ex, and he had come here all the time. So when I said, I want to move up here by the fall, and my dad said, well, let's go look, I'll meet you there. So we met in Chicago and we start looking at apartments. Of course, we start like off of Michigan Avenue because somebody my father knows has, you know, lives there. And he's like, well, let's start looking there. And I'm like, yeah, Dad, I don't think I can afford to live here, nor do I want to live here, nor, you know, like on Chestnut or something. And then we kind of moved a little bit more north into the Gold Coast and on Elm or something like that. And my father was like, well, don't you want to live down here? I was like, yeah, Dad, once again, can't afford it. And everybody here is 65. And then we started moving up toward the DePaul area, and my father was like, DePaul, now Amy, don't you want to live near DePaul during all the university kids? And but I knew, because I had like one of those gay guides to Chicago, and I wasn't out to my father. I knew I was just kind of waiting for us to get up the grid to like Lakeview to Boys Town, and that's where I wanted to go. I remember my father and I walking down Broadway
near
Unabridged Books, and this is years ago, this is 14 years ago, before it had any kind of it didn't have that many storefronts, but there was some men's store there. It wasn't Universal Gear, which I think is there now, but it was something
like Bad Boys or something.
It was something like Bad Boys or
Bodywear.
I don't know.
Bodywear.
Something had male in the title in it, though. I remember my father passing by and going, well, look at that. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? You know, and I mean, I just thought like the back room has bondage, you know?
Oh,
and my dad was like, he didn't get it. And I was like, no, Dad, I think this is the neighborhood I'm going to live in. Don't you all live in DePaul? Don't you all live down there?
No.
I was like, no, Dad, I really think I'm going to live up here. Oh. So I lived, you know,
in the middle of it all.
I did. I lived right off of Broadway, about a block and a half from you, off of Hawthorne. And
lovely. That's a lovely area.
Yeah. And I lived there for 4 years and, you know, had many a trip to the closet.
Oh,
and
there you are. And Mommy's
that was really the only bar there at the time. I guess it's really
Mommy's
still kind of.
Kevin, one time when we were driving south on Halsted to take a left to go to my house. And so it was at the time when Manhole. Instead of what it is now, Hydrate, which is what I call, it's called the, I call Hydrate sort of the IKEA of gay bars. It's sort of that blue and golden, you know, whatever. But it was Manhole. And
God, I forgot about Manhole.
And so Mama looks at the cut, the little thing up for the manhole, and sees the name of it and whatever. She looks at me, she goes, I bet some kinky shit goes on in there, doesn't it?
I know. Oh, my Lord.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's quite funny.
So they know. They know they don't know.
They know they don't know, because I remember my dad and I eating at Ooh La La one night. That pumpkin ravioli. I used to love that damn meal. And yeah, and that's when I was like, I think Dad's getting a kind of an idea of what this neighborhood.
Daddy knows what's going on.
But so you and I, we have so much more to talk about, and we're gonna have you on for a couple of shows, because later in the week we're gonna have our 2009 Windy City Gay Idol Amy Kelly
Love
on,
her.
Which is so awesome. But we have much more to talk about, so why don't we take a break? We're gonna tell you what's going on in the news, theater scene, also Jack, our bisexual guy, is on. He's gonna be talking about celebrities a little bit, and you and I are gonna talk about the big loss of so many celebrities.
Losses.
So it's coming in more than threes. It's coming in fours and fives and all that.
What does that mean?
It's very strange. We'll talk about it all after this.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The body of gay sailor August Provost III, 29, was found at California's Camp Pendleton on June 30th, and a person of interest is being held in connection with the killing. Provost was shot 3 times, tied up, and burned. Relatives are calling the murder a hate crime.
Gay Republican group Geo Proud is leading an effort to add a gun rights measure to the hate crimes bill in the U.S. Senate. Senate Bill 845 provides for concealed carry reciprocity.
The Organization for Refuge, Asylum, and Migration, an international refugee advocacy organization, has announced its launch. The group is the first non-governmental organization to focus exclusively on refugees and asylum seekers fleeing sexual and gender-based violence.
The National LGBT Bar Association has announced that Gary F. Kennedy, Senior Vice President and General Counsel for American Airlines, is the recipient of the 2009 Allies for Justice Award, given to an individual who has partnered with the LGBT community in the struggle for equality. Previous winners include Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick and San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom.
The Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission is conducting an internal investigation into the recent raid of a Fort Worth gay bar that resulted in one patron incurring a serious head injury. Fort Worth police said that the injured patron, Chad Gibson, 26, was in the commission's custody when the injury happened. 7 people were arrested for public intoxication.
The New York Blade, one of the 2 major LGBT newspapers in New York City, has suspended publication and let its editor-in-chief go.
In world news, in India, the Delhi High Court has ruled that gay sex between consenting adults is not a crime. Gay rights activists praised the court verdict, and many supporters celebrated with sweets and smearing each other with vermilion.
In Britain, Tory leader David Cameron has apologized to that country's gay and lesbian residents for Section 28, a law that prohibited the use of taxpayer money for any school-related promotion of gay rights.
In Uganda, the State Minister for Ethics and Integrity said that a strict anti-gay measure will be proposed, saying that the country is dangerously becoming a permissive society by allowing homosexuality, witchcraft, drug abuse, among other things. Once the bill is passed, even pro-gay literature will be banned.
And in entertainment news, X Factor, a Marvel comic series, features a same-sex kiss between characters Richter and Shatterstar in the latest issue. It's one of the first gay kisses in a mainstream comic. However, writer Peter David said that regarding Richter's sexuality, I don't see the point at this juncture in spelling it out, not because of any sense of homophobia or anything, but I think it's more entertaining and thought-provoking if we keep it ambiguous.
Actress Patricia Mousery has reportedly been let go from her role as Carlotta on One Life to Live because she struggled with portraying a gay-friendly Latina. Mousery, who portrayed Carlotta, had trouble with a scene in which she finds a book, How to Tell Your Parents That You're Gay, that she mistakenly thinks belongs to her son. Mousery allegedly had religious objections to the plot twist and has been replaced by Sandra Santiago.
Los Angeles Staples Center will be the site of a public memorial service on July 7th for Michael Jackson. However, city officials are debating who will pay for the city's resources needed. Thousands of officers will be needed for the many individuals expected.
Ian Halperin, the unofficial biographer of Michael Jackson, claims that the late star was actually gay. Halperin said he spoke to 2 men who slept with Jackson and that despite the sexual abuse allegations that plagued the entertainer, he was never interested in children. 3 years ago, the singer's brother, Jermaine Jackson, also said he and his brothers thought Michael was gay.
And Lindsay Lohan's relationship with DJ Samantha Ronson appears to be back on as they celebrated the actress's birthday together on July 1st. Lohan and Ronson split earlier this summer, but were spotted in June at London's Heathrow Airport, where they caught a flight together to L.A.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, this is Jack with another By the Way, representing the B in the big gay alphabet. Read any tabloids lately? More people are opening up about their bi tendencies. Of course, it's mostly women. Men aren't as attuned or as vocal about certain topics. We all know some of those guys out there have had boy-on-boy action before. We also know that Lady Gaga and Katy Perry have spoken freely about kissing girls and liking it. Oh, but there are more. Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas dished about her not-so-heterosexual past. She played it safe because now she's married to hunky actor Josh Duhamel. This way she won't be pegged as being different since she got a man. Even Transformers actress Megan Fox said that she dated a female stripper at the age of 18. And Olivia Wilde makes her want to strangle a mountain ox with her bare hands. Hot, right? Again, similar to Fergie, Fox has been linked to 90210 alum Brian Austin Green, so such a revelation is a relatively safe bet. Conversely, if a person is in a same-sex relationship and states that he or she is bi, will people believe it, or will others think that somebody in the same-sex relationship cannot be bi? Then there's American Idol runner-up Adam Lambert. He said he still makes out with girls after telling Rolling Stone that he is indeed gay. Is this just a way to keep his screaming female fans, well, screaming? All I'm saying here is love and let love, and save the judging for daytime TV. We don't know what others are truly feeling inside. At least people are speaking about bisexuality in a natural way, instead of having it sneered at or depicted poorly, as it often is. Until next time, this is Jack with another By the Way.
Every night at the LaSalle Bank Theater, the curtain goes up on Jersey Boys, and something amazing happens. The music plays, and the story unfolds. As the show flies by, four blue-collar kids turn into pop superstars, and 2,000 ticket holders turn into Jersey Boys fanatics. Ask anyone who's seen it, like critic Chris Jones in the Tribune, who calls Jersey Boys the most exciting new musical in years, or Hedy Weiss in the Sun-Times, who says this show is pure platinum, a supercharged knockout. Don't wait another minute to get your tickets. Jersey Boys, see it now. Just call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week, July 6th, 2009, you're in Chicago's Culture Club.
Blessed with luxuriant instrument, he probably sounds great singing the weather forecast, says the Chicago Tribune. Don't miss David Edelfelt in Everything's Going My Way, a look at life, love, and letting go through the music of Porter, Gershwin, Sondheim, and Bacharach, with Becky Minzy on piano. Come see what the standing ovations are all about. Sunday, July 12th at 3 o'clock at the Village Players Performing Arts Center, 1010 West Madison in Oak Park. Tickets are only $25. Visit village-players.org.
Snow White is back. Mid-Tangent Productions presents the return of Snow White and the Seven Drag Queens at Hydrate Nightclub. The Chicago Reader says Snow White redefines fierce, and the Windy City Times says it's a fun drag romp. Go and have a gay time. Fridays and Saturdays now through the 25th at 9 p.m. Only $10. Get tickets at tix.com or purchase at the door.
Jazz Dance World Festival 2009 comes to the Harris Theater in Millennium Park for four nights only, July 22nd through the 25th. Featuring 15 American and international dance companies, including host company Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago, the Chicago Sun-Times calls Jazz Dance World Festival fiery and breathtaking. For tickets, visit harristheaterchicago.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, this is your girl Lady Gaga, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
So you and I have not talked at all since like about... every person has died.
I know.
From Ed McMahon to Farrah Fawcett.
I know, my favorite
which
angel.
Which is, you know, she was your favorite angel?
I'm a big Jacqueline Smith fan.
I am a Jacqueline Smith
fan.
I'm
just going to tell you right now, there's something about Jill.
Jill Monroe.
Jill Monroe.
She was not very good on the show, but she's awfully damn pretty.
Actually, she was very good.
No, she was not.
Yes, she was. And here, do you know what? You know what she graduated from college doing? Farrah Fawcett? Microbiology.
She's very smart. I just didn't think she was very good on that. I have to say that I thought
it's all about her hair.
She was so fantastic in Extremities, and she was so fantastic in
the Burning Bed.
And I loved her in The Apostle, which is still one of my favorite movies. So I'm not slamming her. I mean, I think she was pretty. I did not think she was very good on Charlie's Angels. I love me some Jacqueline
Smith.
Come on,
she did The Hustle on Charlie's Angels.
Remember when
Kelly was being chased by that guy with a gun, and she goes and she slides in the bowling alley and goes underneath the bowling alley thingy, and the guy with the gun's trying to shoot at her, and then Jill gets the bowling ball and bowls and knocks him down. I watched some episodes the other night. I did. Yeah. I went to Hulu, watched a couple of the first season episodes.
I mean, what a legacy that woman left, and really chronicling her struggle with cancer and just kind of her bravery around that. I really respect. I mean, even if you didn't like her, you kind of have to, you know, what she has done to put a face to cancer and its effects, and what somebody has to fight against, you know, and living with it and battling it. And, you know, she was a fighter. She was a tough lady for somebody who looks so delicate and pretty.
She's such a Southerner too. Mm-hmm. There's a clip on YouTube I watched, and it's from the 90s, and someone brings out a Charlie's Angels beauty kit, you know, for girls.
Oh, I remember they had the head that you could do the Farrah hair. Yes. I had one of those.
But they said, so he's handing this thing to her, and she starts laughing, and he goes, "So did you get any money from this?" And she goes, "Oh, here we go again." And she said, from what I understand, it's coming. And she looks at the camera and goes, "It's coming, right, what's his name that created it? Aaron, right, Aaron? Right, Aaron, it's coming. The check is coming, right?" Yeah.
Built your house.
Oh, but like, you know, she never saw any of that, but she didn't see all the money from her poster, which she chose that picture for that poster. She was the one that said, "No, it's this one. No, this picture."
But she said she liked other pictures too. But
she did picked she it. Up and what it? I love about that picture, when you look at it now, it's so tame. Because it's not about...
Yeah, but it's because her nipple was
But it's not about
hard.
Her.
She had hard nipples all the time,
but
though.
It's like a one-piece bathing suit.
No, I know. But back then, that was scandalous.
It's one piece. And she... It's all about how... It's her presence in that picture. And I had that on... My father had that on a t-shirt. And I totally stole it from my father when I went to college and wore that t-shirt out so long that the iron-on, gone. Still had the shirt. The iron-on is completely gone.
Oh, wow.
Love it.
Wow.
Love it. And then Michael Jackson.
And then hours
who
later.
Stole Farrah's thunder.
He really
Thank
did.
You very much.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah. Oh, see, you're not a Michael Jackson fan.
I'm just not. I'm not a big MK. I saw him. My brother was the epitome of a Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
he
my
was
brother.
The end all be all. Well, I remember seeing the Victory Tour. My father had arranged for us to see. We got tickets.
He came to Knoxville.
Yes. I was there on the ninth row. Ninth row in Knoxville, which is, you know, hey, ninth row in Knoxville, we're shitting in high cotton.
Yeah.
And
was it amazing?
It was a
great
concert.
What a great performer those guys
All
were.
I remember about that concert, though, and it's my brother was,
they were all in those sequins,
I mean, just obsessive. My brother is obsessive with certain things. And he was about, maybe nine? And this little girl in front of him was about his age, and everyone was standing on the chairs when it started. And they made an announcement, please do not stand on the chairs. Please stand. If you want to stand, you can stand, but don't stand on the chairs. Well, they go to the next number, and this little girl in front of my brother, and my brother's been waiting for months to see this. She stands on her chair, so he can't see the stage. Well, my brother took it for about one number, and then he tapped her on the shoulder. This little girl, or little whatever, turns red. He goes, "They said not stand on the goddamn chair."
Oh, no, at nine?
He just goes, "Get out!"
Get down.
And my father just sort of shot him a look. We never heard my brother talk like this. He was like, you're fucking with my Michael Jackson
time.
Have
you talked to your brother about his death?
I have. And Jeff's a little weird now because, you know, the whole scandal between him and these children and did he or didn't he. And you know, my brother works with a lot of young kids, and so he's, I think he's a little torn as to how he feels.
See, my brother is a huge, huge Uber fan, and Coleman and I talked about this, but like my brother was the first person I called, and you know, I mean, I think it's been interesting. I don't know if I posted this to our blog, I have to look, but I definitely sent this to a lot of people, Lisa Marie Presley's blog posting on her MySpace, where she finally said, you know, look, I left. You know, he predicted this was going to happen when we were married. Wow. He said, I think I'm going to go like your dad. She said, we were talking about my dad. And she said, you know, he really felt that was the way he was going to die. Like he was going to die tragically and young. And
how is it tragically that he died? I don't understand that.
Well, I think that, I think anybody 50 of that talent is, it's tragic when it's probably
Elvis
related
died
to
toilet,
drugs.
Elvis
yeah,
died
but
toilet.
I still think, well,
Judy Garland,
Michael Jackson, who knows if he died in the toilet because he was in his house and... You know, I mean, I think that it's just what Lisa Marie Presley said. She said, I want to set the record straight. I know that many people thought this marriage was a sham, but it was not. And I have not spoken out about it and let people believe whatever they want to believe, but it was not. Mm. And I left because I needed to protect my two kids at the time. But she said, I wasn't going to sit there and watch him, you know, do what he was doing, which, I mean, she indicated the drug use was strong then.
Wow.
And that, you know...
So they think it's drug use, really?
Oh, I definitely think it's drug use. I mean, I think, you know, there's just going to come... So much is going to come out about this, and they're already finding now that this propofol has been found in his...
What is propofol?
It is a drip anesthesia.
Oh, that's right. I've heard
that
this.
Is now, you know, that they
Because he couldn't
said,
sleep.
Because he couldn't sleep. And it's not a sleeping pill. You know, it's not like a sleeping drug. It's not like taking an Ambien. It's like going under for surgery. And when we have surgery, we're not asleep. Our brain shuts off. Anesthesia is not a sleeping pill. We do not go to sleep when we have surgery. Otherwise, we'd wake up having been cut open screaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, we're it is a different drug system, and they are only intravenous drugs. So, and no, you know, I was talking to my mom actually today about this because my mom and I have not spoken. She was asking me if I was getting my lottery ticket to go to Neverland because my whole family knows, you know, that me and my brother both loved the Jacksons. Like, we love Diana Ross, Donna mm-hmm. Summer, and the Jacksons, you know, and Michael Jackson especially. And Janet, for about a good 6 years, was a goddess.
When she was fat.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it was.
Yeah, I loved her when she was Rhythm Nation.
Take out the ribs, and we don't want to talk to you
anymore. Yeah. But you know, I mean, it's just apparent, you know. It was just a thing of my life is Michael Jackson. I mean, he to me is like...
He's a god.
No, I don't think he's a god. He's a brilliant, talented, creative force. I don't know who he is as a man or any of that kind of stuff, but he is a timeline for my life.
Yeah.
Because my brother is 7 years older than me, and based mm-hmm. on my age, he is a timeline for much of my life, except maybe the past 10 years, eight
See, that's
years.
The thing about it is, I don't understand what. It, to me, it was. It's indicative of America
mm-hmm.
that here's a man who, I'll call it, no one really has bought any of those albums for a good 15 years, maybe even 20.
And yet, you can hear them playing, played all the time.
And
because everybody already has them,
and
they're being remixed, or
well, true
in discos but around the world.
As if we couldn't have cared less about this gentleman. The tour is coming up. Maybe that would have changed things. I don't know, but we didn't really care. He dies. I was furious that day he died because of his death and not because of whatever, but really, honestly, I was on the Facebook, which I'm starting to be on the Facebook more, and I see all these like. Tribute. Bye, Michael. We love you, Michael. And I was like, you didn't care about this man this morning. You could have cared less about him. And all of a sudden, it's all turned. And how Americans turn that crap it's boggling of the mind.
Yeah, but like Kelly and I were talking about it at the end of the night. And yeah, I have not had any indication. I've not really followed anything except, wow, Michael, you've been going down a really scary road for about the past 8 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his 40s have not been an attractive decade of his life, you know. I mean, it's hard to look at somebody who has such self-loathing of his mm-hmm. face. And, you know, I think that is difficult. But... I still can think of performances when he performed, you know, or got an award from Justin Timberlake or NSYNC, uh-huh. or was, you know, with Britney Spears at one of the award shows, and though she sucked, you know, he was still in rare form, and
you know, it changed it for me. The downloading some music. I sat home last weekend.
Yeah.
I think Saturday night, and I was like, well, okay, I don't have any of this in my iPod. I'll buy some stuff.
Yep.
And I got...
you can get the definitive one where you get like a ton of his stuff.
Yeah, but I just got all, I was like, oh, I went to YouTube, saw something. Oh, the way you make me feel. Okay, look at that.
It's a great
okay.
song.
You know, and the first track from Thriller, Want to Be Certain Something.
Yeah, I was like, one of the best songs ever. One of the
best
songs.
And you start playing it and you go, okay, now I may have issues with
him. Go to Off the
Wall.
Go to Off the Wall. It's like one of the best, was my first album I ever bought.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Coleman and I talked about it last
that
week.
That says a whole lot. You know, my first concert, this is the God of Honest Truth. This tells you how redneck I was.
Uh-huh.
I saw Loverboy.
Oh!
Everybody's
I had a
working
Loverboy
for the weekend.
Those red leather pants
and him
on
with
the cover
this,
of the album and the headband.
I wonder why that was my first concert. Yeah.
My first one was Anita Bryant, so I kind of got
nothing. Oh my God!
It's true.
Are you
in Cleveland, Tennessee. Yeah, the
you
Orange Juice Homophobe. Yep, I did. In the Tabernacle, the Church of God Tabernacle. She filled the place.
That's not a concert.
Cleveland, Tennessee.
That's a revival.
It was a revival of sorts.
Oh my God. You should write her a letter and say, I saw you at my first concert and you turned me into a lesbian.
Turn me into
it
a
would kill
lesbian.
Her. It would kill her dead.
And then she'd be number five.
And then she'd think fruit pie in the face.
Oh my God.
Fuck me.
But you know, I mean, here's the real thing. You were saying, like, nobody cared about you this morning, and I just have to hear one of those songs. I know every word.
And you were back
I can
to
see
it.
The video. I know what I was doing. I know where I was when the mm-hmm. first Billie Jean video came out on MTV. I remember sitting with my mom and my dad and my brother watching the American Music Awards when he did the moonwalk for the first time. I remember, you know,
Thriller.
As Kelly
Let's
said,
just say Thriller.
Like, I remember sitting singing Ben and crying over Ben. You know, I remember.
So it's very important.
It's
to
just
life.
Very, yeah. It's like very significant. I mean, all the way up. I remember, you know, I remember my high school choir teacher when "Beat It" was premiering on MTV, wheeling in. Remember, I was in public high school, but wheeling in the television on the, you know, on the thing where the little machine was under it, so they could show you videos, and the television was on top, and they wheeled it down the hall and let us all watch it in show choir and
"Beat It,"
you know,
choir.
Or Glee Club, and our show choir was called Ebony and Ivory, which made Colin Domingo spit attack. But you know, it's true that I just remember all of that, and but you know. Your question too of like, well, nobody's really cared. Kelly kind of said that to me last week, and I said, yeah, but I haven't really followed Madonna writing her children's books or breaking her rib about riding a horse. But if she died, God forbid, and I'm not trying to create something, but she's 50. If she died,
well, look at those arms. Something's going on. Something is going on.
The chicken arms. But you know, it would be huge. It would be huge in terms of like an artistic figure in my life.
See, I feel like if you were real, if
I'm not a stalker. I don't like, I don't belong to the fan club of Michael Jackson.
But if he had died, think about it. If he had died anywhere at the end of the whole Thriller album, you know, when you could have released him coughing on a mid-track of Thriller, 5,000, it was a crazy time. If then he had died, I would understand. This is an artist in his prime who was taken from us. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. It's 20, 25, 26 years later. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get what the big deal is. He hasn't really done that. He's important to people, and I understand that. But I just, it's amazing to me that there are people who aren't you, who didn't care, and now do.
Yeah.
Simply because he's dead. And I really wonder what it is about us. I think his dad said this. I wish we had done this for him when he was alive. I wish there was something we...
Well, but
we
I think he drove us all
people.
Away. I mean, I think that he distanced himself, too. I mean, you have to understand that there's a thing about drug use. There's a thing about isolation. There's a thing that we'll never understand of, like, what it was to be him. No one walking the face of the earth. I don't know when it will come again that somebody will understand what it is like to be him. There is no... I mean, is there anybody who's a
Liza.
Child
star? I think Liza.
No, of course, but I'm saying, but Liza didn't even grow up. But even Liza, Judy, Elvis didn't grow up in the age that we grow up in of like, we know within 30 minutes that the man's dead. And I mean, everybody knows,
yeah.
You know, in the world, you know. I mean, we are never going to experience there's not going to be an individual who's going to experience what Michael Jackson did. And also, I think the pressure of racially what he was doing as a young child, you know, kind of moving through that civil rights movement. And I think it's interesting, too, you know, because our news today on the CareerCast here talked about, you know, that statement that Jermaine Jackson had made a few years ago where he said, you know, my brother's gay. I mean, you know, and said it. And I really believe that whether he was gay or asexual, I personally, I don't know that I believe that it was about little boys. I just think when you're living a lie and you're living in isolation and you're an addict, which I think he was for the past 15 to 20 years of his life, I think he was addicted to narcotics. I think it just, people, even if they don't know what's going on, we can size up that something is going on. And I think that it's, it all seemed fine under the lights and with the flashy moves, but without it became just too distorted.
And we can't, I guess it's true that this is something that came from his childhood. It's all from his childhood that he had all these issues. But, you know, if I had a 9-year-old kid who I invited to my house to slumber party.
Yeah.
And then we slept in my bed in my underwear. And I told everybody that nothing happened. I would be, it would be Chris Hansen at the fucking door going, excuse me, to catch a predator. Like that.
Yeah.
Like that. But because it's him, sure we all, a lot of people think that. But
did he say he slept in the bed with him? Or did he say I thought he said that they slept on the floor. They slept in his bed, but he wasn't in his bed.
Oy.
I don't know.
Oy.
I don't know.
See, we all know this stuff.
It's a sick bag of mess, all that stuff. But his music.
But to me, I said this a lot this week. I said, you know, let's say there's some pedophile out there. And what do? They buy a van. They get some candy. Come on, little boy. What do you do if you're Michael Jackson? You have a ranch with rides. I mean, come on. I mean, really. Let's look at it. That's funny, but a lot of it is true.
I don't know.
Think about what he put out there. I'm just saying, I think
when you can't walk to go buy a cup of coffee ever in your life.
Without somebody holding an umbrella over you.
No, I mean before that. Okay. I mean for, you know, his entire 20s and 30s even.
And teens.
Well, and teens.
And younger.
But you kind of don't go get yourself a coffee when you're in your teens. Maybe you do when you're in your teens. But I mean, like, the guy cannot go to Starbucks. The guy can't go out to lunch with friends. The guy can't go rent a fucking video. He can't walk down the street. I don't know what that would feel like. Like, I don't know, because he was so, and we can get off Michael Jackson. Because we probably should.
We should get off Michael Jackson. Let me tell you.
But, you know, I mean, I have a lot of compassion for the fact that I can't even imagine what that's like when I'm...
And unlike every other celebrity. Well, a lot of other celebrities.
He was so big when he was big, though.
Well, he didn't choose that. I don't think he really chose that. I mean, this is something that
But I think he was more comfortable being a celebrity than being a human being.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, and most of us don't even know what that feels like, except other celebrities, and I think many of them aren't as comfortable.
Let's look about the other people that he overshadowed their death. I'm talking about, you said...
Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett. And then also...
Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon.
But he was a few days before, so I think people had their moments.
But did you have... oh, my God, my ride's here.
Your ride's here.
Hello. Flores from Muertos.
It's the ice cream.
Speak of Carl Malden.
Yeah,
Carl
just died.
Malden.
Yeah, genius. I mean, what a nice long life, though, that he lived. 97 or something, right?
You want to watch... I said this to somebody else, and I...
Streetcar Named Desire, of course.
Well, Streetcar is genius. I mean, he's genius in Streetcar.
Yeah.
And I think that's the performance to watch in Streetcar. Yeah. I think he and the woman playing Stella, I've forgotten her name, those are the performances to watch in that show. Because those are people who go from, especially him as Mitch.
Yeah.
He goes from A to Z in that character.
Yeah.
And from
he's
going from a person who, you know, poker shouldn't be played in the house with women to trying to rape her at the end of that movie.
Yeah.
It's completely different in a genius performance.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's her name? Molly Sugden? Are you being served? Oh,
and that's what's weird is that they, you know, I always heard they come in threes, and so now we're on number five. So who's going to be number six? Like, if it's two sets of three, that's kind of scary.
I don't know.
Hey, speaking of some movies, I got some stories that if you're following me on Twitter, which is a reason to follow me on Twitter, because unless you're Steven Rader and I send you your stories personally about the gay comics, So you can follow me on twitter.com/AmyMatheny or go to our website and you just click and you're following me. But there's two movies, you know, the gay movies now, maybe because of Milk and Brokeback Mountain, are starting to come out. And we've got some lesbian movies that are coming out.
Desert Hearts 2, Electric
Boogaloo? No, it's not Electric Boogaloo. but we are going to have some old lesbians.
What?
Olympia Dukakis and Brenda Fricker are going to star in a road trip comedy called Cloudburst. And it is starting right now. They're filming it in Nova Scotia. And it centers on two women who have lived as lovers for 30 years and decide to break out of their nursing facility, where one of them has been committed. So,
Nova Scotia.
I think that's hilarious. They're playing some older lesbians.
A buddy film.
And then for, you know, those of us cougar lovers with the lesbians, how hot is this couple? Annette Bening.
Oh, God.
And Julianne Moore.
Oh, my God.
Now, that would make you, you're a Kenzie 6, but come on. That would do something for you.
I'd fuck them both.
Lisa Chodolenko, who's awesome director, who directed High Art and Laurel Canyon and some really queer savvy
films.
I love Frances McDormand.
I love Mason Millett. Love her.
But they began shooting a new film called The Kids Are All Right. And it's about these two kids who set out to find their same-sex parents' sperm donor. And Bening and Julianne Moore play the parents. And it's the little boy or the son and the daughter. I don't know how old they are. And how cute is this that Mark Ruffalo is playing the donor who gets discovered?
Horrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we're starting to see some films. And I don't know if this is a rumor or not, but I heard that there is a film. Some big budget film.
Oh, God.
With now old gay men with Hal Holbrook and Philip Bosco. Is this a lie called Me and Henry? I don't know. But if it is, somebody tell me.
As long as Dixie Carter's on the set,
I don't care. When she got her honorary doctorate from my college and I hung out with Hal Holbrook the whole time, it was my job to wrangle him and sit with him and her mother. And he took me back. He was like, "Do you know where my wife's going to be?" We had the best time. And we went backstage. This is at Rhodes College in Memphis. And we went backstage and he was like, "Let me introduce you to Dixie. Would you like to meet your wife?" And I would love to.
I would fucking die.
And he was so sweet. I love Hal Holbrook. And so we went back to this back room, and here are like all the vice president's wife and all these academic guru board of director women all waiting to meet her. And she's like powdering her nose, and they're kind of scared to approach her because she's just left the stage after getting her doctorate or her honorary degree or whatever. And we came in a back door, and she turns around, and she went, "Hal, I'm a doctor." It's the first thing she said to him. And he like hugged her. And then all these women like started to approach like in a line. And he turned right in front of them. And he went, "Dixie, I'd like you to meet Amy Matheny. She's been taking care of me all day." And so I got to meet Dixie Carter.
You know, when she was in child, my favorite of all stories about Dixie Carter. And it's not even my story. Well, I was dating someone who shall remain nameless. His best friend, Sandy.
His name is shall remain nameless?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Yeah, Sandy. Sandy is brilliant. And Sandy, really used to work together at a Navy pier.
Mm-hmm.
And there were singers in the little thingy. And so there's a big event. I don't know who it was. But they're all up in the arboretum thingy upstairs, whatever, the glass thingy. And so all these people are coming down the main staircase right there. And they're by beside the stage. And they're singing in their little costumes. And it's a huge event. And Michael Jordan comes down. All these huge people.
Oh, my God.
So, but they're singing and singing. Michael Jordan, the mayor, blah, blah, blah. Nope. Yeah. You know, so they're singing. Ah, da, 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 da. Well, then, Sandy spots Dixie Carter in a black little... She's in a black skirt.
She's teeny. Black, she's the tiniest little legs you've ever seen in your entire life.
Black skirt. And she has like a white a tuxedo shirt. Colors popped. Looks like a $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So Sandy literally stops singing and screams into her body mic, "Dixie Carter!" And the whole place stopped. And then she said, Dixie Carter like turned, arms extended, took a little bow, and then walked gracefully downstairs. Everyone's applauding.
She's such a grand dame.
Oh, I was like, that's exactly right. Dixie Carter! I mean, come on. Come on. I don't care who's before you. It's Dixie fucking Carter.
That's right.
Oh, so now I have to lights it out in Georgia. I mean, come on.
She's a goddess.
Then when Dixie dies, call me.
Oh, Lord.
Call me.
All right, I will.
Call me.
I mean,
I'll
die. My first phone call.
Are you kidding?
And my brother. Do you remember Filthy Rich?
Filthy Rich.
Nobody knows what the hell we're talking about. Hey, everybody, on our next show, Steven Rader and I will be talking to the 2009 Windy City Gay Idol, Amy Kelly. It's so exciting to have her on
the
show.
She's the best.
And all of you who have commented that, why don't we know enough about the gay idol and why haven't we heard from her? Well, you're going to hear it all from her
ears. Calm down.
We're going to go out. We're going to go out on this holiday and we're going to go have a little drink at the back porch of Tees, and I'm going to sit down and we're going to connect. So, and Stephen will be with us as well in that show. So everybody, have a great week. Hope you had a good 4th of July. Ours was both kind of low-key. So,
yes, thank God.
But just a good long holiday weekend. Hope yours was too. And hope you're having a good week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.